Norman Davis is one of the most influential contemporary historians of Central Europe. His writings on Poland have had a huge influence on our perceptions of the country, and he is unusual as a historian in his tireless attempts to reach a broader public, beyond the dusty shelves of academia. Last month I managed to catch up with Norman Davis here in Prague. When we began our conversation, I was more than a little surprised to find out that he has very personal memories of Radio Prague.
In 1967, to begin with, when I was a student in Krakow in Poland, the international service of Czech radio was, I think, the only foreign English service I could receive, and I used to listen to it. And they had an essay competition, which I happened to win. So I came during the Prague spring of Alexander Dubček, which was quite exciting in itself, and I received my prize, which was an embroidered tablecloth, which we still have at home. And yes, that brings back a very exciting time of my life.
Of course, Norman Davis wasn't in the Czech Republic just to reminisce about Radio Prague in the 1960s. He was launching the new Czech translation of one of his most widely discussed recent publications. In Microcosm, Norman Davis and his fellow English historian Roger Moorhouse take us on a gripping journey through the history of one of Central Europe's great cities, Wrocław. It's a city that has been known by many names over the centuries: Breslau, Vratislav, Vratislavia, Wrocław. The names in themselves reminding us that this is a place with a many-layered history. The city is in the southern Polish region of Silesia, which until 1945 had long formed part of Germany, but its links to what is today the Czech Republic run very deep. As the book's title suggests, in many ways the history of Wrocław is a microcosm of much that has happened in Central Europe over the last millennium, moving between different spheres of political influence and different languages, and suffering the traumas of war, destruction, and the mass movement of peoples. And it has roots, as Norman Davis reminded me, that are distinctly Czech.
1,000 years ago, more than 1,000 years ago, in the 10th century, when the earliest records of the city of Vratislavia in Latin originated, the city was in the Kingdom of the Czechs. And
at that time, was there really a clear distinction between the Czechs and the Poles as such? You mention it in the book that the languages, to what extent were the languages distinguishable?
I'm not a philologist, but the earliest records of the Polish language date from the 13th century, that is from 300 years later. And it's quite clear that Polish and Czech were growing apart. They were becoming more different. So in the 10th century, one can fairly deduce that they were much closer. And in the province of Silesia, which was between the heart of the Polania in Wielkopolska and Bohemia, one doesn't know whether the language taught there was closer to Czech or closer to Polish. I don't think there are any records to answer that question.
And the link with Prague, Bohemia, went on for centuries, didn't it?
For obvious geographical reasons, Wrocław is close to the mountains of Bohemia. So there's very close human trade contact throughout the centuries. But the Czech influence waxed and waned. It was obviously very strong in the earliest period. Then the PS Poland appeared and was a power in the land and rebuffed Czech influence to some extent. Then in the 14th century, Silesia was passed to the Crown of Bohemia, and for 200 years, Silesia was part of the Czech Crown lands. It was only in the 16th century that the Habsburgs appeared and took over both Bohemia and Silesia. So, yes, there's a very close link between both the peoples and the states of the region. One of the blemishes of modern historiography is to look at the past through modern eyes, to look at the Poles and Polish territory as being something entirely separate from the Czechs and Czech territory, and it just wasn't like that.
What about, you mentioned the Poles and the Czechs, what about the Germans? Obviously there was already, in the Middle Ages, there was this growing German element in the history of Wrocław, Breslau.
Yeah.
Is that the case as well with the Germans, or were they more distinct?
The German migration, the great movement of German settlers to the east, affected Bohemia and Silesia and Pomerania in the north in exactly the same way. Whatever, the Sudetendeutsch and the German Silesians were essentially part of the same movement. And they affected the life of the big cities like Prague or Wrocław in a very similar way. The German element was secondary to begin with, but then when these provinces were taken over by the Habsburgs and they became part of the Habsburg state, Germanization developed much more rapidly. The difference between Prague and Wrocław later on, or Breslau, is that Breslau became Prussian, whereas Prague remained Austrian, and then you got a new layer in Silesia which didn't affect Bohemia.
One of the things that fascinates me is in the book, when you're talking about the later history, the fact that, well, by the time of the Second World War, it was an almost entirely German city. The population was completely changed. It became a Polish city after the war. And yet, and it's also, I think, relevant to this country with the expulsion of Sudeten Germans after the war, in a strange way, the place seems to be stronger, to have a stronger identity than the people who live in it. It seems to survive even when the people have been completely exchanged, as it were, to use the common euphemism.
Well, I think the fabric of the city has its own history. The Gothic medieval churches of Wrocław have been there for 700 or 800 years. The modern population has only been there for 60 years. So, in a way, the city has a history, a record, and a material story which is separate from that of the people that live there. One of the many false slogans which the communist regime introduced into Silesia was that the stones themselves have always been Polish. It's simply not true. The stones, if anything, were built and put together by people of different cultures, one of which was the Poles. But the German influence increased under Austrian rule and then under Prussian rule until, as you say, in the beginning of the 20th century, Breslau was the second city of Prussia, one of the very greatest German cities.
Microcosm is not just a study of the distant past. One of the most fascinating chapters in the book covers the extraordinary period after the Second World War. Norman Davies argues that unlike in Czechoslovakia, where there was initially considerable support for communism, the communists never enjoyed popular sympathy in Silesia or in Poland in general.
The history of communism in Poland is very, very different from that in Czechoslovakia. The Czechoslovak communist movement was a genuine political movement with genuine believers and supporters, and it had its moment of independent influence at the end of the war. You have to remember that the Czechoslovak government returned from London freely. A treaty was signed with the Soviet Union, and Stalin allowed the Czechoslovak government to come back and for the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia to operate in a free environment for 3 years. And then, of course, they hit it on the head. But that never happened in Poland. In Poland, if you can imagine, Stalin killed the entire leadership of the Polish Communist Party before the war, during the purges, in 1937-38. Thousands of them, not a few individuals. As a result, during the war and at the end of the war, there were no communists, no genuine communists still alive to play the role that they played in Czechoslovakia. Apart from that, Stalin and the Soviets in general were very hostile to Poland. Poland is much bigger than Czechoslovakia. Poland had fought against the Germans. Poland had fought against the Russians. So the entire treatment of Poland after the war was very different from that of Czechoslovakia. There were a few people in Poland who were optimistic about the future, but if you read the horrors of the Warsaw Rising, where the capital of Poland was totally destroyed because the Red Army sat and watched it happen, you understand there was nobody of importance in Poland who was going to freely support the communists.
I was talking to historian Norman Davis, whose History of Wroclaw, Microcosm, was published in Czech translation last month. The original English version was published by Jonathan Cape in London. And that's all from Radio Prague for today. Please do tune in again tomorrow. From me, David Vaughan, and all of us here in Prague, goodbye.